Derval McDonald on RTE Radio 1.
Lots of messages of support coming in for Colm and Cleona. What a fantastically talented couple, says one listener. And Colin Keown is a beautiful film. They are fabulous ambassadors for the Irish language. Well, they really are. And I'm so, so excited for them. In January, fingers crossed for The Quiet Girl. Well, now we all know that Christmas can be a bit of a pressure cooker. And it can also be a make-up or break-up time for relationships too, with a huge number, sadly, of break-ups happening just around now. And for tips on how to navigate this, I'm joined on the line by Frances Kelleher, relationship coach. Very, very welcome, Frances.
Good morning, Derval. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Must be. I'm just thinking of all of those people who are waking up to the breakup at this time of year. I feel perhaps it's a bit of a cruel item to do. However, we saw this phenomenon during the COVID lockdowns as well. Kind of when we're all forced together under one roof, there, those little cracks can suddenly become bigger ones.
Yes, for sure. I mean, things do become more intense as people spend long periods of time together. It's only natural. And it becomes clearer, the problems you might be having. And, of course, it highlights them too. And, you know, when people fight in the wrong way, it actually ends up killing the love and the attraction. Now, also, you have the stress of Christmas, maybe being with the in-laws. Some people don't get on with the in-laws, or, you know, being with your own family. So you mightn't get on with them, etc. And that all adds to the pressure on the relationship. And then if you're, you know, faking a happy front, this is very stressful and exhausting too. And of course, people have a shorter fuse when they're tired. So it's a mix of things going on together, really.
So let's start off then maybe with the shorter or kind of the early phase relationships. Maybe you've just been out for a few months or so, but you're already thinking about breaking it off. Are you not better off doing that before Christmas, Frances, or do you maybe wait on until the gifts and all are exchanged? Do you try and, I don't know, Frances, it just feels as if breaking up at Christmas is a bit mean. Although I suppose there's never any perfect time to break up with anyone.
Yes, yes. Well, the first thing I'd say there is there's no, you know, wrong time to break up with somebody if the relationship isn't right. You know, and it is easier if it is before Christmas, of course, because you've the gifts and the family events are involved. But really, you're only wasting their precious time and your own precious time if you keep it on. Now, normally the red flags are there early on, you know, and you shouldn't ignore them because a lot of people do this. And they look back then once it's off, and this could be, you know, a couple of years, Derval, and they say to themselves, why didn't I break it off ages ago, years ago, when I saw the signs at the beginning? And it is harder for everybody the longer it goes on. And, of course, the regret of last time is much, it's much harder than anything you'd ever have to deal with a breakup. So, you know, you should do it when it should be done. And, you know, obviously don't introduce people to the family at any time of year if you feel the relationship is coming to an end. But, yeah, especially at Christmas.
So, listen, whatever about the fact of the breakup, how you do it can matter. So what is the best way to break up with someone? It's never easy, you know. We've all kind of heard of the stories of text messages and people ghosting each other.
Yes, and that's not good. I mean, you know, be direct in a kind way and just be honest. I get this question a lot, actually, from people. So, you know, don't do it over text. It's not good manners, basically, you know, in a nutshell. And you can just say, I'm not feeling a huge connection. I don't want to waste your time or my own time, and just wish them all the best in the future. I mean, I had a client in Florida, and she had been on 3 dates with the guy, and, you know, she thought he was lovely, but she came to me and she said, I'm not feeling the connection. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to him. And I said, just say that. Just be honest. And he came back and he said, you know, I'm so grateful that you're honest. You know, we can be friends, and I wish you all the best too. And, you know, just treat people with respect and the way you want to be treated, and you won't go wrong. Just be direct and honest.
So be direct and honest. So what about whatever about the early doors? Let's move on a little bit, and let's say someone's been together maybe for 2 or 3 years. You know, perhaps the foundations of something there, but there's cracks there, and they're considering breaking up. After all, you've maybe invested maybe in 2 or 3 years. Is it worth a little bit of therapy or counselling before making a decision of that magnitude?
I think that's a very individual decision, but my overall answer would be definitely yes. If you feel that it would allow you to have no regrets, by all means, do everything and anything. If you feel that, you know, you could move on with peace of mind by doing that, do. Now, normally, again, like I say, the cracks show within the first 2 to 3 months of a relationship. It's that quick. And the red flags are there, but again, we choose to ignore them, or we convince ourselves, you know, that people will change. But ultimately, you need 3 things for a relationship to work long term.
What are they?
The first thing is friendship. Second thing is the physical chemistry. And then the third very important thing is shared values. And if one of these things are missing, it's not very likely to work. So I recommend doing everything and anything that allows you to say, I gave it my all, I did my best, I've no regrets.
Now, talk to me, Frances, just about, you know, you've spoken quite a bit there about red flags and the red flags we should never ignore and when to go out. But some red flags are more obvious than others, are they not?
Yes, that is true. And I mean, look, for instance, you the red flag of, we say, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse. But then there are the subtle ones of, you know, sometimes people not giving 110% commitment to the relationship. That's also a red flag. So, you know, if you see that, or if somebody isn't respecting your time or isn't all in the relationship, you need to get out the minute you see that, because your time and energy are the two most important commodities you have. I often say this. So don't waste them. You know, don't put up with any bad treatment, even if it's subtle and constant, because this erodes your self-esteem and confidence. And I mean, it's your job to protect them. So stand up for yourself by walking away. And, you know, this also clears the runway for the right person to come along, because I always say 80% of finding the right person is actually getting the wrong people out of the way, so you're not wasting your time.
Okay, Frances, so talk to me about what are the main reasons, I suppose, why relationships break up, whether it's this time of the year or any other time?
Great question. Okay, so there's many things. I mean, look, we've got to be realistic. People carry old baggage around with them from their childhood, from their past relationships. You know, there's that. You mightn't have shared values. There could be a lack of maturity, a lack of being able to compromise. Also a common one, not knowing how to speak to the opposite sex and the correct way to motivate them and build attraction. Or one person could, you know, want it all about themselves, selfishness. You know, it's the human condition. And then there's other things, like different situations. Like sometimes life gets in the way, and, you know, of people's love, and they don't, you know, water the flower of love by going on date nights, for example. And then they just go too far apart. Then, of course, there's the big one, and I think Christmas, you know, comes in here as well. And that's why, you know, we're seeing a lot of breakups after Christmas and things like that. Is the drinking too much? You know, that fight between Brad Pitt and Angelina on board their private jet comes to mind, you know, that led them ultimately to divorcing. So, you know, people also think the grass is greener on the other side with somebody else. So often they could start affairs. And then when the rose-coloured glasses come off, it's actually the same problem you end up having, only with a different partner. So there's a mix there.
And I suppose a lot of those things maybe get amplified at, we know earlier we're speaking to Dr. Mark Rowe about sort of highly emotive times like Christmas. We all know, I think, people, some people in our lives, Frances, who either don't want to or for whatever reason can't commit. Is it the case that some people aren't cut out for romantic long-term relationships, and is that okay?
Yeah, I don't really think that's true. Like, I would say that, and also it is a choice to commit to somebody, but I would say no man is an island. You know, we're pack animals, and, you know, even everybody believes that George Clooney, you know, was a confirmed singleton, and he believed it himself, I'd say. But, you know, when the right woman came along, he couldn't marry her quick enough. So I would say that people who don't want to commit, there's a reason behind it. Like, they've been left brokenhearted at some stage, or they didn't have a happy family life maybe growing up, or their parents divorced, so they're afraid that they'll pick the wrong partner. I come across that a lot. People are afraid they'll pick the wrong partner and relive that, and that they make the mistake. Or they could just, you know, have abandonment issues from childhood, that they don't want to get attached and be hurt again if that person leaves them. So in my experience, there's always a bit more going on beneath the surface for that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, moving on to those, because it's more complicated when it's, you know, longer term relationships that have taken root in the form of maybe their kids that have come along, or maybe you've invested in a property together, or just maybe it could just be the amount of time that you've invested in a relationship. But again, once there are cracks or flags there, what is the advice there? Obviously, that's it's different from maybe the relationships of just a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Yes, that's very true. I would do everything to save it. You know, it can be saved and healed. There are a ton of relationships that, I mean, even people that have divorced and got married again even, but there are a ton of relationships that are saved every day. And, you know, Sharon Osbourne, she even said the reason her and Natalie are still together is just forgiving over and over. That's their secret. So, you know, it's about forgiveness and compromise. So I would say have no regrets. Get counselling, get coaching, read a book on relationships. You know, do three things every day that move you to that goal of getting back to that union you have. Because I think people give up too easy in general in life. So, you know, just begin to have date nights again where you just connect emotionally. That emotional connection, that's what keeps the relationship alive, well and healthy. And on the date night, you know, don't talk about finances or the kids or the mortgage. Just have fun and reconnect. And a huge thing as well, Durbel, is to start being grateful for your partner again. I mean, this is life-changing. In COVID, I had so many clients dying to be loved and love. They were acutely lonely. They were just dying to have that person, that special person there. So, you know, make a rule only to see the good things in your partner and tell them. Because appreciation can turn things around unbelievably. It's the little things like telling them, you know, thanks for being a good mother to our children, or thanks for working so hard to bring in the money for us.
And what about conflict? Because that's an inevitable part of life. Is there a way to manage that and to, I don't know if the right phrase is to say to fight correctly, or is there anything, you know, that really we can do there to manage conflict, which is an inevitable part of our relationships?
Yes, another great question, because, you know, the way you handle conflict is huge. People don't realise that it can be make or break. So you have to fight correctly. So no blaming, you know, express yourself calmly and assertively, not aggressively. There is a difference. Now, there's a guy in America, John Gottman. He's a relationship researcher. He's had a love lab for 40 years in the US. And he states for every one negative feeling or interaction between partners, there must be 5 positive feelings or interactions. So that's huge. For every one negative thing said, you should counteract it with 5 positives. Now, he's also discovered what he calls the 4 horsemen. They're the 4 communication habits that increase the likelihood of divorce. So again, they're according to John Gottman. And they are, 1, criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling, and contempt. If you've those 4 things when you're fighting, they erode the love, and they're a sign that you could be heading for divorce. So keep them out of the fighting, you know. So be conscious of that. Just think of the long game and how you want everyone to win, not just about being right. You know, happiness for the team, as it were, should be the ultimate goal.
Can I ask you a question? Just one question. One of our listeners says, can you please ask your guest, Frances, about how to recognise narcissistic behaviour early before they are married?
Another good question. I would say that it's all about the other person. It's all about the other person all the time, and they need that attention constantly, and they do not consider your feelings or, you know, compromise or coming halfway. It is all about them all the time. That's the first huge red flag. It's always about them, and the spotlight always has to be on them and what they're doing and how they feel and what they need and how they're feeling and thinking. That would be the main thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is a good question. It's always, anytime you talk about relationships, those questions do come up. Unfortunately, Frances, the line isn't great, so I'm going to have to let you go. But I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. So those top tips for managing relationships at Christmas, we really, really appreciate it. Frances Kelleher, relationship coach.